Exchange, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
If your workforce, for example, does not match the demographics of the surrounding area, that is sufficient evidence that you have discriminated, even though the courts cannot show any intent to discriminate. And what happened at that point is that government began to stamp out civil society.
This is your host, Scott Bertram, and that's Myron Magnet, author and writer in many locations, including the Claremont Review of Books. We talk with him in depth about a recent essay, The Anti-Racist Racket. That's coming up in just a bit. First on today's program, we chat with Kyle Mernon. He is Director of Online Learning here at Hillsdale College. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here, Scott. Thank you.
Here today with an exciting announcement about a new podcast offered by Hillsdale College, the Hillsdale College Online Courses Podcast. And people might be able to figure out from the title, this has to do with our online courses. So before we talk about the podcast, I wanted to talk about the online courses themselves, because we've talked to you many times about many of our online courses as they're released. But I haven't talked about the before, the philosophy. What is the philosophy behind our online courses? Why were they launched in the first place?
So the whole idea behind Hillsdale College, the reason we were founded back in 1844, was to diffuse sound learning throughout the country, right? And to help provide the education necessary for civil and religious liberty. And Dr. Arndt saw an opportunity back in 2011 to be able to expand that mission, right? To be able to use the internet, use our means online to take the core education of Hillsdale College and make it available to everyone that wants to learn. And it's been a great opportunity to be able to be a part of that. And the idea is that everyone should know something about the Constitution. Everyone should be working on their character. Everyone should be able to read great literature, right, and gain all the benefits of that. Know something about Western civilization and the philosophical ideas that have come before us. And we want to make that available to people in as easy and accessible as way as possible. That's the philosophy behind it. We've done it for 12 years now and have 40 free online courses.
40 free online courses. How many people have taken a course, maybe approximately? And what do you generally hear back from people who have gone through these online courses?
So to date, we've had just about 3.6 million people sign up for an online course. And the most common thing that we hear from people is something along the lines of, thank you, this is what I wish I would have learned in school, right? Or I was intimidated or afraid to attack or break into the Divine Comedy or learn something about philosophy because I thought it was too hard, and this has opened that door, that opportunity. That's a pretty common sentiment that we get from people, and that's my favorite thing to hear.
The Hillsdale College Online Courses Podcast is available now at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. We like podcasts, but why podcasting for online courses?
Yeah, we like video over in our area. We think it's a lot of fun, and we try to do that. But something that we've been learning more and more about, Scott, and that we want to, you know, be able to help with is a lot of people just listen to our courses anyways online. Mm-hmm. And that's been an increasing number of downloads on audio on our online learning platform. And we know that people want to listen, learn on the go. lot of people with families or busy schedules want to be able to, you know, consume this content while they're in the car, for instance. We just want to make that easier for people to be able to learn with us. And so the podcast was just a collaboration with you guys to figure that out and get it into more people's hands.
Yeah, I think you know this too, but since we've launched the Hillsdale College Podcast Network online courses as a podcast, it's been by far the most requested feature. So we're doing it now and bringing it to the people at podcast.hillsdale.edu. They won't all be available at the same time. Yeah. Not all 40 are going up right now. So it'll be little by little, but we start with one particular course. And it's the Second World Wars. Yeah. So why are we starting with the Second World Wars?
Well, there are a couple things. One, it's taught by Dr. Arn and Dr. Hansen. And anytime you're able to work on that course, it's a joy with those guys. You learn a ton, especially from Dr. Hansen's approach to the Second World Wars. It can be an overwhelming topic in and of itself, right? You have so many battles, so many theaters, ways of fighting. If you work through it in a chronological manner, you can have a hard time kind of getting to the bottom of things. Instead, he breaks it out into the key themes, the key ways that you fought. And he does a great job of explaining why the Allied powers ended up winning and pointing to the key factors there. So we think it's a particularly good course for that. And it's a subject that I know a lot of people are interested in and mm-hmm. they love to learn from Dr. Hansen. We thought it'd be a fun place to start.
What makes for a great online course professor?
Yeah.
And why is, you touched on this a little bit, but why is Dr. Hansen and Dr. Arn so good at what they do?
I mean, they're two of the best you could ever find. And we're honestly spoiled here, Scott. That's my favorite part about working here. We have a bunch of people who have a passion for what they do, and they're extremely knowledgeable and able to transfer it. I know we've talked about this before. It's very hard to go from one medium to the next, mm-hmm. from the classroom to in front of a camera. The people that teach here are really skilled at doing that. Dr. Hansen, particularly so, it may help that he has to have a photographic memory. I don't know how else he does what he does. You'll see that in the Second World Wars course. We filmed it. I think he would show up on filming day with one little note card where he'd scribble three lines. And then he'd go for 50 minutes without any breaks, which is rare, and list off 30 tanks, right, or 15 dates in a row. And we'd fact check it, wanting to find something for us to do. Like, hey, maybe we fact check it and add some value here.
You wanted to bust it.
And he bats 1,000. It's unbelievable. So, I mean, that one piece, that is very impressive. But also just the way he's able to organize his thoughts and how passionate he is for these things, that comes through. And when we read reviews of his courses, that's what people talk about. And they love him for his honesty and his directness and his intelligence. And that comes through in this course, I think, and I hope it does in this podcast. I think it will.
People can find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu, the new Hillsdale College Online Courses podcast. What's the difference, or are there differences between the podcast and the video series, the video course? Clearly, one's video, one's not. But what does that mean for people who are going to take it?
The biggest difference, you know, if people are interested, if they listen to us on podcasts and maybe they want to sign up for a course, one is we try to add some visual entertainment or visual depth to these courses in the way of images and text on screen that may be a learning aid mm-hmm. that some people might enjoy. And the other thing, if you actually just want to listen to it as a podcast, but you want some of the extras, maybe you want a study guide to help you out, maybe you want to test your knowledge with a quiz, maybe you want some readings, that's available online. And you can kind of use that as a support as you're listening to it as a podcast.
And you, of course, buried the most important part, which is that each of the podcast episodes begins with a short conversation between you and Juan Davalos, who also is in the online learning department to help set the stage and the scene for what people are about to hear.
Well, that's the least important part. I just hope that we don't screw it up and have people, you know, leave the podcast before they get to Dr. Hansen or Dr. Arn. But no, that's been a blast to be able to tee these things up and maybe make a point or two about why we love this content so much.
Yeah, and also point to anything that people might be missing, quote unquote, for the video. You guys can fill them in. Yeah. Remind people what happened in the last episode in case people are going, you know, a while between listening. So there is value to a little introduction that we have on each of those podcasts as well. What else can people expect in the future for the Hillsdale College Online Course Podcast?
So we're going to keep working through our courses, just like you said, and release a lecture a week. We're going to probably jump into one of our politics classes perhaps the Federalist Papers. I know it's very popular here. Maybe Constitution 101 is a podcast. And I guess I would just say to your audience, if people have suggestions, we're open to that. We want to be able to find the most important courses to turn into podcasts.
Yep. I've just heard from so many people, I want to listen when I'm driving in the car or I'm on the train or I'm at my kid's soccer game and I need to watch him, but I can listen to something else. So I think this will be well received by many of our listeners out there. Podcast.hillsdale.edu. The Hillsdale College Online Courses Podcast is available right there with links for how to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, or wherever you get your audio. But starting now, you can get into the Second World War's online course at the Hillsdale College Online Courses Podcast, and more to come in the future. Kyle Mernon, Director of Online Learning here at Hillsdale College, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott.
Up next, we talk with Myron Magnet, author of the recent essay, The Anti-Racist Racket. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Join One Safe Place for an electrifying night of glamour and show-stopping performances. October 21st, the Cascade Theater in Reading will host the dazzling final edition of Dancing with the Stars, Shasta Style. Talented professional dancers will compete for the Champions Trophy. Your golden tickets for the show are on sale now at ospshasta.org or go to cascadetheater.org. Brought to you in part by Reading Rancheria, Results Radio, KRCR Channel 7, and KCNR. Be a part of something truly extraordinary, because at One Safe Place, together we change lives.
Join Tolkien's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Tolkien's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, all of it at podcast.hillsdale.edu. We're joined now by Myron Magnus, most recently the author of the wonderful book Clarence Thomas and the Lost Constitution, also writing in various places, including at the Claremont Review of Books, where his most recent essay appears, The Anti-Racist Racket. You can find it at ClaremontReviewOfBooks.com. Myron, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Scott.
Fascinating piece that you wrote at Claremont's. I want to ask first how you distinguish the civil rights movement of the 1960s from the anti-racism push of today.
Well, the civil rights movement was all about opening opportunity. Its watchword was that all men are created equal, that everybody is equal before the law, and therefore everybody has an equal chance of anything that the government does. And now, of course, what the anti-racism racket is all about is that if there are inequalities between the races, that is in itself evidence of racism. And so anything that produces that must be eradicated. So it's now not about equality of opportunity. It's about equality of result. And as I say in the piece, that's had some really terrible consequences.
Myron, how should we think about the time since the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s, these decades in between? What exactly has been accomplished? Where have we seen successful and perhaps some failed outcomes?
What is baffling to so many, I think, is that there hasn't been more progress among blacks than there actually has been. We really thought that once these barriers came down, everything would equalize. Blacks would have their chance. They would take advantage, especially of the educational opportunities that were opened, and take their place in the professions, in the various employment niches, and carry on. But here's a funny thing that happened. You know, the civil rights movement was an enormous cultural change, as well as a political and social change. Beliefs changed. So, you know, one of the statistics that I point out in the Claremont Review is that people telling pollsters that they approve of interracial marriage went from 4% in 1958 to 94% in 2021. I mean, that's an amazing change. But maybe the heart of this story is the idea that what people believe affects their actions as much as their actual circumstances do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, culture really, really matters. And so the cultural change that took place alongside the civil rights movement was also enormous. I mean, we had the great cultural revolution of the 60s in which it was, you know, tune in, turn on, drop out, and suddenly non-work became okay, you know, and suddenly the idea that used to be that going on welfare was stigma, along with the civil rights movement came the idea that for blacks to go on welfare was just kind of reparations, that crime, if committed by blacks, was not the fault of the individual criminal, but rather the fault of the larger society that through exclusion, through oppression, had driven the criminal to his crimes. Society was to blame. This was one of the, you know, most corrosive ideas of the early 1970s. That, I mean, as part of the cultural revolution in the 60s, we were all having our fling with sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know, so we couldn't, illegitimacy got destigmatized. drug use got even glamorized in the 60s. And so what you had is a kind of cultural revolution in the majority culture, and it then filtered down everywhere in society. When got to the inner cities, you ended up having an underclass characterized by illegitimacy, non-work, drug use, crime, and educational failure. And this was a matter of destigmatizing. It was a matter of saying that this stuff is okay. Welfare dependency, it's okay by the time you get to the 1960s. As the civil rights movement succeeded in opening up opportunity, the cultural qualities needed to succeed, to take advantage of that opportunity, had been diminished in an important part of the black important part of the black community, and so the progress that everybody expected, blacks and whites expected to see from the black community, did not happen. Instead, as I say, there was all this social pathology.
Myron, were some of these failures weaponized by the anti-racism movement, particularly in the past couple of years?
So Black Lives Matter comes along after the killing of Eric Garner in 2014 and says, okay, well, all this black failure is due to systemic racism, all right? This is why this idea has been the most pernicious, dreadful idea that it's possible for anybody to come up with. It's we may not see this racism, but we know its effects, right? It can only be that systemic racism is to blame for black failure, to the extent that there is black failure. And that means that all of the standards that society uses to measure merit and ability must be racist. And so we need to abolish them. And that's what anti-racism has been accomplishing. So, you know, yeah, we need to have affirmative action, because racism is keeping blacks out, when it's evidently not true. And then what happens is, okay, too many black Harvard grads who go to law school don't do well. Water down the law school admissions requirements, and even get rid of the admissions tests to law school and to medical school. So, you know, what is the consequence going to be for society if we do all of this? We're going to have black lawyers who are not qualified, black doctors who are not qualified. It's already happening in the hard sciences, not so much for professorships. That isn't happening, but for admission to these programs. So, do we really want our rocket scientists to be less qualified? Do we want our medical researchers to be less qualified?
We'll pause there with Myron Magnet, author and writer. Most recently, The Anti-Racist Racket. You can find it at ClaremontReviewOfBooks.com. More with Myron next. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North Day now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, adapted by Jeffrey Hatcher from the novella Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Directed by Lawrence Stanfield, a new and shocking twist on the classic tale of depravity, lust, love, and horror. See two sides of a psyche battle each other in a deadly game of cat and mouse to determine who shall be the master and who his slave. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and enjoy the store reading. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, October 20th through November 4th, sponsored by Audiology Associates at Reading, this station, and other amazing sponsors.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Hi, I'm Tim Scarborough, host of Shasta Outdoors. As an outreach of It Does My Soul Well, we bring to you each week guest news and information about the great outdoors. There are so many wonderful opportunities to get out there and enjoy hiking, kayaking, fishing, horseback riding, hunting, and the list goes on of things we get to enjoy in Northern California. Shasta Outdoors, Friday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on KCNR.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We've been talking with Myron Magnet. He's the author of Clarence Thomas and the Lost Constitution. Also, the recent essay, The Anti-Racist Racket. You can find that at ClermontReviewOfBooks.com. Myron?
Let me ask about a line from the piece that you wrote at Claremont, The Anti-Racist Racket. You say, as the civil rights movement unfolded, but government, rather than marches and sit-ins, became its engine, and then government action imposed costs that future historians may consider excessive or unnecessary. How did government take the lead and push the movement into places it might not have gone organically?
You know, that's a really good question, like all of your questions. And what happened, of course, is that Martin Luther King was quite close with the Kennedy administration and quite close with the Johnson administration, so that, for example, he went after the I Have a Dream speech, he went straight to the Kennedy White House, you know, and Kennedy congratulated him on his performance there. So what happened was that that the civil rights movement persuaded the Johnson administration to pass the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and to institute the war on poverty. So that meant that now, I mean, a kind of proto-anti-racism, you might say, got written into law. So, you know, so that, for example, you could not, you know, it's absolutely right and in the American tradition to say that if you are in interstate commerce, if you are in the business of serving the public as public accommodation, you cannot discriminate. And that's what the Civil Rights Act did. So, you know, as a matter of fact, restaurants, motels, that sort of thing, are not supposed to discriminate. But once you come up with the idea that private businesses cannot discriminate in hiring, and that statistical discrimination, you know, that statistical disparities, if your workforce, for example, does not match the demographics of the surrounding area, that is sufficient evidence that you have discriminated, even though the courts cannot show any intent to discriminate. That's kind of weird. And that what happened at that point is that government began to stamp out civil society.
Myron, what do you mean by that? And how should we think about business in the context of this conversation?
So, you know, the fact is that a business is just a civil society enterprise, civil society association for private purposes, right? It's not there to serve the government. It's there to provide a service or provide a product. And but suddenly the idea was that government is going to monitor all of this. And that is a push that created an awful lot of resentment, and with good reason, because it limited Americans' liberty. The most dramatic example was when government decided that it was going to institute busing to achieve racial balance in the schools, something that the Civil Rights Act, you know, something that Hubert Humphrey, in arguing for the passage of the Civil Rights Act in the Senate, said could never happen, could never happen, because it would be so clearly unconstitutional. But it did happen. So that, A, that was an infringement on liberty. B, it was leading to the destruction of civil society, because the neighborhood school was an important civil society institution. And it was for no purpose, you know, for no purpose, but it made the, and what it did is essentially to say the raison d'etre of public education is to make racial equality, not to make education. And that was a really, really adverse consequence of the government getting into the business of extending civil rights beyond where it really is constitutional to do so.
Let me ask one final question for Myron Magnet here. What do you see as the shelf life for anti-racism? Should we be concerned we'll be battling and contending it for a while, or is it something that is a fad? Will it fade into obscurity?
I don't know the answer to that question, Scott. And what is particularly troubling to me is back in 1993, I think it was, I wrote a book called The Dream and the Nightmare, The 60s Legacy to the Underclass, which was arguing against all of these ideas in their original version. And actually, we did make progress. You know, we did get the cities to be more law-abiding than they were back in those days. And for a while, people stopped believing in the idea that the criminal is the victim, for example, the idea that welfare is just reparations, that it's okay, the idea that single-parent families are okay. I mean, not that these ideas went away, but they became kind of quiescent for a while, that it was possible to make the opposite case and to say, look, if you want to succeed in America, get married, stay married, don't have children until you're married, and get any kind of a job and keep working, and you will succeed. People who do that, almost 100% of them, are not poor. Just plain. You know, that's all you have to do not to be poor. And finish high school. You know, that case seemed to be making an awful lot of headway as the civil rights movement succeeded, as we policed the cities, as we stopped believing that law enforcement was a conspiracy against black Americans, seemed to be succeeding. And then, bingo, you know, with Eric Garner's death in 2014 and the emergence of Black Lives Matter and all that 1619 claptrap and all the diversity, equity, and inclusion commissars and the ESG movement in the corporate world, you know, suddenly, bam, it's all back. So I thought that we actually had won a lot of those cultural battles, a lot of those intellectual battles. But, you know, the victories don't remain victories. So I don't know, Scott. I'm very distressed now. And, you know, and I'm a New Yorker, so I'm watching the crime epidemic mm-hmm. break out again here in New York, all driven by the same kind of beliefs. It's all culturally driven. All these elected district attorneys, right, elected by voters who were believing that too many black men are in jail because there's a kind of racist law enforcement. Well, it's baloney. It's just baloney. The reason so many black men are in jail is because black men commit crimes at orders of magnitude greater rates than white men, and that's the reason. So I'm not real optimistic.
Byron Magnet, you can read his piece at ClaremontReviewOfBooks.com, The Anti-Racist Racket, also his most recent book, Clarence Thomas and the Lost Constitution. Byron, thank you so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Always a pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
Up next, we welcome back Dr. Ben Whalen from Hillsdale's English Department to talk about Dr. Faustus. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they keep her online.
Not. No. Business cards from Minuteman Press Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Fall is the best time of the year to plant trees and shrubs. The nights are cooler and the ground is still warm, and this allows the roots to take hold and gives the plants a good start. Starting Thursday, October 12th through the 31st, Gold Leaf Nursery's big fall sale begins. Take advantage of their fall sale prices, and what a sale it's going to be. 40% off all 1 gallon through 24 inch box trees. Take 40% off all 1 gallon through 15 gallon shrubs, vines, and ground cover. The nursery is loaded with beautiful plants, shrubs, trees, perennials, and ground cover. Their roses, crepe myrtles, and verbenas are in bloom. They have a tasty selection of fruit trees and citrus with over 1,000 in stock and on sale. Come in and take advantage of this big fall sale. 40% off all shrubs and trees, 1 gallon or larger. Now in stock. Fall vegetable and fall color. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and a quarter mile from Airport Road. Don't miss the big fall sale at Gold Leaf Nursery.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
One of his best works, perhaps his best work, Dr. Faustus. So Faustus is based on German stories about the title character Faust. How much already existed? How much does Marlowe create?
That's a great question. It's a legend that goes back to Greek folk stories. Marlowe was definitely looking at a particular volume that we know, and it told a lot of the story of Dr. Faustus, including if you go and read Marlowe's Dr. Faustus, you'll see that the play is a funny one. It moves between these scenes of sort of high tragedy and then low comedy, where you have these common vulgar characters doing sort of comic little things, and then Faustus and his maybe larger concerns, and the play fluctuates between those. And we actually can see that even those comical lesser scenes, Marlowe derived from this volume, this tradition surrounding Dr. Faustus. So a lot of the, by the way, I really agree. I think Dr. Faustus is Christopher Marlowe's finest work. But what's interesting is he's working with a received story.
Mm-hmm.
And what is so excellent about his play is not that he comes up with something new, but how he tells the story and the poetry in which he tells it.
Set things up for us a little bit. Who is Dr. Faustus? What do we need to know about the character?
So Dr. Faustus, Marlowe leaves him in Germany. So he's a very learned, accomplished, brilliant university professor. And at the opening of the play, he expresses dissatisfaction with the different fields of human learning. So he looks at law and says, this doesn't satisfy me. Theology, no. Medicine, no. And so he rejects all of these different fields of learning. And he has this sort of restlessness and this desire for more and for transcendent knowledge. And so even having accomplished such great learning in physics and science and in law, et cetera, he finally turns, in fact, to magic, to a friend who's come and sort of tempted him there.
He seems to have a great thing going. Right?
Yeah.
Why does he begin to get involved in magic? What does Marlowe tell us about temptation here?
Yeah, I think it's about temptation and also pride. that he can't be content. There's this sort of restlessness. I think Marlowe himself is a learned author. If you think of the beginning of Augustine's Confessions, our souls are restless until they rest in thee, O Lord. Well, Faustus won't repose his soul in God, and so there's this restlessness that stirs him throughout the play. And by the way, just for listeners who have read Goethe's much later Faust, both parts one and two, this is one of the things that Goethe develops with his much more romantic temperament at great length, is the restlessness of Faust. Now, Marlowe's Dr. Faustus has this restlessness, but I think it's also bound up in a story of pride and a desire for knowledge that really breaks with the old forms and finds something new.
Dr. Faustus attempts to conjure a devil. One appears. They make a deal. This is the Faustian bargain that perhaps some of us discuss or talk about in various conversations. So what's this deal they make? Why does Faustus agree to it?
Yeah, so he conjures up Mephistopheles, his little devil partner, and it's funny because after this moment when they do strike this deal, then Mephistopheles becomes his companion and his servant until his death. And there are actually quite a few comical moments. So he almost becomes like the devil servant sidekick and partner to Faustus's adventures. The deal is that if Mephistopheles will serve him and give him whatever he wants in terms of answers about the universe, in terms of power or wealth, if Mephistopheles will do that for 24 years, then Dr. Faustus signs his soul over. Satan can have his soul. So the agreement is, I'll sign my soul over to Satan if I get 24 years of a supernatural demon who will do everything I want.
Why is it 24 years? Do we know?
I don't actually know. I'm not sure. The play does fly through those 24 years. So if by the end of the play, we see that the time has expired and we see Faustus's last moments. But it is interesting that span of time, to cover that span of time on the stage is, breaking with ideas of unity of time and place that might go back to Aristotle for theater.
So what does Faustus do with his newfound power and his new servant, his new sidekick?
Yeah. So I love teaching this play with students because early on, when Faustus is thinking about selling his soul, he articulates these grand ambitions that he has. So he thinks, I will fix up all of the public schools in Germany. I'll give silk clothing to all of these students. I'll make a wall of brass that surrounds Lutheran Germany to protect it from the Catholic armies in Europe. So he seems to have this great sort of sense of public service and all of the good that will come from his efforts. And then as we see, in fact, it all becomes sort of farcical. So he instead of these great things, there's a scene where he goes to Rome and interacts with the Pope, and he's invisible and Mephistopheles is invisible, and they just pull all of these pranks and make the Pope and the cardinals seem absolutely absurd. And I love that moment in the play in particular because it shows Christopher Marlowe's own sense of how to play with his audience, because he's writing for Englishmen. These are also separated from Rome, and the English Church is opposed to the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope is not a sympathetic figure to Christopher Marlowe's audience. So Marlowe writes this scene where you see the Pope getting knocked around and mocked, and you gain the sympathy of the audience. But on the other hand, you get the sense that even though this is funny, actually, what sort of use of supernatural power is this? And this is farcical rather than serious. This isn't actually doing great good for the Protestant countries in Europe at the time. This is just making a joke of the whole thing. So he both gets the delight, I think, of Englishmen, but then also has this sort of serious criticism of Faustus there.
Talking with Dr. Ben Whalen about Marlowe's Dr. Faustus. So what happens at the end of these 24 years? A deal has been made.
Yeah. Yeah. So after these 24 years, his time runs out and he's been around the world. He's had all of these adventures. He's not been made happy, and he's finally left alone in his room, and the hour is clicking. He has 1 hour until midnight, and we see Dr. Faustus in soliloquy. Just even Mephistopheles is no longer with him, and you see him having this great crisis of conscience and this sort of agony in the soul. And this is one of the great moments of soliloquy on the English stage prior to Shakespeare's own great tragic figures. And Faustus, at times he makes efforts in this soliloquy, he makes efforts to repent, and he's thinking about his soul. And it's very interesting because he really does believe in his coming damnation. And he believes in his soul. And he makes these certain efforts at repentance, but does not finally, by the end of the play, appear to succeed. And it appears that the play ends with him. His final words are, "I'll burn all my books," but they're not prayers for mercy or repentance. And so it appears that he goes to his damnation at the end of the play.
Is there something too about the restlessness of the soul that sort of leads Dr. Faustus down this road of magic and toward the devil and away from his past life? Is Marlowe telling us something about contentment? You know, what should make us happy in life?
Yeah, it's interesting. At the end of this period in English literature comes John Milton's great work, Paradise Lost. And one of the lessons Adam and Eve learn at the end of that work is to be lowly wise. Which is about contentment. Don't reach for the forbidden fruit. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Faustus does have this Promethean reach, this overreach there, this inability to be content. I do think that's part of the lesson. And it's a wonderfully rich play. You can see how you can lie to yourself about certain goods, how you can fool yourself into thinking, oh, well, I'll just do this and it will make me happy. Or if I just do this one thing, then I can repent later. Mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. Maybe I can game the system. And Marlowe's play doesn't suggest it's quite that easy. And one needs to be sincere and do the hard work, run the race.
Dr. Ben Whalen, Associate Professor of English at Hillsdale College, talking about Christopher Marlowe's Dr. Faustus. Dr. Whalen, thanks for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks, Scott.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Kyle Mernon, also Myron Magnet, his recent piece in the Claremont Review of Books, and Ben Whalen from Hillsdale's English Department. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews, Myron Magnet this week, or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. The assistant producer of the program is Sam Lair. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and many organizations are having special Think Pink events to help spread awareness about breast cancer. 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer, but there's a 98% survival rate when discovered and treated early. Think Pink events include a new cornhole tournament, along with their annual 5K walk and run at the Turtle Bay Arboretum Loop Trail. There will also be a car show at the Redding Elks Lodge. And their special Think Pink bag giveaway is happening at Tri-Counties Bank from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Thursday, October 19th, followed by the free 2023 Think Pink Sundial Bridge Resource Fair at Turtle Bay from 5 until 8 p.m. They will also be featuring food, local entertainment, guest speakers, and informational booths. There will also be a free shuttle from the Mount Shasta Mall to the event at the Sundial Bridge from 4:30 until 8:45 in the evening. Once again, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and now's the time to think pink.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Fall is the best time of the year to plant trees and shrubs. The nights are cooler and the ground is still warm, and this allows the roots to take hold and gives the plants a good start. Starting Thursday, October 12th through the 31st, Gold Leaf Nursery's big fall sale begins. Take advantage of their fall sale prices. And what a sale it's going to be. 40% off all 1 gallon through 24-inch box trees. Take 40% off all 1 gallon through 15-gallon shrubs, vines, and ground cover. The nursery is loaded with beautiful...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.